Today I decided to do something that's different. From time to time we do have a brother or a sister who leaves our CCC as God calls him or her into further ministry outside of our CCC. And from time to time we do ask that they come forward and just give a testimony and share a little bit about how God has been at work in their life up to this point and where God is leading them into the future. And today is one of those days. Lauren and LT will be moving to Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia, next weekend, where he will begin his first pastoral ministry at Chinese Christian Church and Center of Philadelphia. CCCC. All right? You know, there's got to be a C in there somewhere, at least two C's, right? So we are, I'm grateful for the ministry that LT has had here for many, many years. LT, it's been, 10, 12 years that LT has been here at RCCC, and he has served in the youth ministry faithfully for many of those years. I know many of you guys who have grown up here have a real deep affection and care for Lauren and LT. We've gotten to become friends with them, and we will certainly miss them. But I wanted to take time in our service today for LT to come and just share with you about his journey and what God has been doing in his life and in Lauren's life, and how God has been leading him and where God is leading him towards. And I wanted to give him an opportunity to not only share with you, to encourage you to see God's handiwork in your life as well, but so that we can get to know Lauren and LT, for some of us who don't know him, and be reminded to pray for them, particularly as they go and begin serving the people of God down in that area and reaching out to their community down there. Well, I'll invite him to come up in just a second, but he's going to use Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 30, as somewhat of a text to examine the process of what he's gone through in following Christ. I'm just going to simply read verse 28 through 30. You can just follow along as I read that out loud. And Peter said to him, that is Jesus, "We have left all we had to follow you." And Jesus responds, "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." LT, I want to invite you to come forward at this time and just share with us about God's goodness and God's faithfulness in your life.
Good morning. I know many of you don't know me because I don't know many of you. You don't know me and my family. You don't know our story. You're probably wondering to yourselves, who are these people? Who is this guy? And with what I'm going to share with you this morning, it may be, depending on how you look at it, good news or bad news. Just like PT said, the news is we're leaving. Like he said, we're moving to Philadelphia, and I will be on the pastoral staff of this church in the heart of Chinatown, Chinese Christian Church and Center. And it's been a long process for how I ended up at this point. And I'm going to share with you just what God has been doing in my life, particularly explaining to you how he's been working in my life here, also at our CCC. Just put this down. It's hard to leave. I mean, we've been part of this church for about 12 to 13 years. I started at this church when I went to Rutgers for college. So we've really grown some deep roots here. We have a lot of close relationships. Many of my closest friends are from this church community. So it's difficult for us to say goodbye. But allow me to share, again, just my story of faith with you. it's kind of like connecting the dots. If you remember as a child what that was like, you have this black and white page and full of dots, and you have no idea what the picture really is going to look like. Those dots in my life are the faith decisions that I've made to get me to this point. Now, I had no idea that I would end up here 12 years ago. When I first became a Christian, had no idea of the ride and the different experiences that God would take me through and how I would end up becoming a pastor. I mean, some of you guys may have known me from the past. You're like, LT, a pastor? You know, like, especially freshman year in college, some of you guys have known me. You would have never pinned me to be a guy to be a pastor of a church. What church in their right mind would choose a guy like me? There's been many steps of faith that I've taken that have caused me to experience God in ways I would never expected, to know Him deeply, to understand His desires for my life, for our life together, for our community, for this world. Like I said, I had no idea that I would end up here today when I first became a Christian, when I first made a decision to say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow You. And to be a pastor, Lord, I'm even willing to do that. I never would have imagined that I would end up being a pastor. I am like the Chinese-American parents. I'm the poster child for the Chinese-American parents' worst nightmare come true. I went away to college. I came to Rutgers to study art. Okay, not engineering, not pharmacy, not, you know, pre-med or law, art, fine arts at that. And secondly, I mean, just to come out to Jersey, I mean, like, I had all the comforts of a great education and the comforts of New York City right there. I grew up in Brooklyn, and so I could have went to NYU, Columbia, any of the SUNY schools, and my parents would have been happy. But no, I chose Rutgers in New Jersey. My mom wanted to keep me home, but I thought Rutgers was a nice medium. It wasn't too far from home, but yet I'm away from home. I'm out of their hair. But on top of that, I ended up serving in fellowship and really understanding how God, I guess, wanted us to live out our lives in the way of establishing His kingdom here on earth. I started seeing that people really mattered. Lost people. There's a lot of people on the campus that I saw come to Christ. And it was just amazing. And I'm like, wow, God, You really have a plan for the least likely. He never ceased to amaze me. And that fascinated me. And the more and more I started serving in church and I started serving in my fellowship, I got to see a bigger God. After college, I ended up at a pretty nice job. It was pretty comfortable. I worked at Johnson & Johnson. You know, it was a very nice and secure job at the time. It was in the heyday of the dot-com era. And so things were good. And I was given this opportunity at that time to consider serving as an intern in the youth ministry at this church. And just to let you know, RCCC does not only support missionaries and raise up missionaries like Margaret and whatnot. I want to encourage you to investigate this a little bit further. RCCC has invested in people like myself, in Frank and some other brothers, and in providing them an internship to explore God's call in their lives. RCCC has provided an environment to to train and equip people for ministry. And so I considered that. I was like, am I willing to do that? Just give up a year of my life at least. That's how it was presented to me. LT, I see you have an interest in serving. I see that you love people. Would you consider giving up a year of your 20s to the Lord, serving as an intern, explore God's call in your life? Would you be willing to do that? And I thought about it, and I remembered when I first considered following Jesus. I'm like, Lord, I'll be willing to do whatever you want me to do. And so I had to weigh my options. I ended up going home, telling my parents that I'm going to leave my nice, comfortable job after college and work at a church. My parents aren't Christian, by the way. And they were like, what? You go out to Jersey and this happens. yeah. And by the way, I started dating Lauren at the time. You know my wife. She's there in the back. I kind of gave my parents a double whammy. I was like, not only am I going to quit my job and take a huge pay cut and work for a church, I'm kind of interested in this tall white girl. talk about being the poster child for the Chinese American parents' worst nightmare. I studied art. I went away from home. I quit my job, worked for a church, took a pay cut, and married outside my race. Yeah, life gets more interesting. But it was then, that decision, that I began to see that God had much more in mind for my life. I started taking a few seminary classes, and eventually, I did end up marrying Lauren, this tall white girl. And life took a different spin. I went on to seminary full-time with the support of RCCC. And it was a real challenge. I started to really see that God's kingdom was much bigger than I thought it was here at the Rutgers community. After seminary, I was like, what's next? What's next? It took me about a year to kind of figure it out. It took me a year of just trusting and following Jesus. And things came together, and now we're moving. My friends, I want to encourage you today, if anything, more than anything else, to trust and follow Jesus. I love working with youth. I spent a good number of my years here working with the youth. And I love working with them because they have this energy. They have all the freedom to reach their friends, to make a huge impact in their schools, in their families. They have time. They have resources. They have the support of this great church community around them. And it was exciting to see them just take steps of faith and for them to see God answer their prayers. This light bulb just went up off in their minds, and you could see it, and it was exciting. It made me go on. It made me want to do more. But what happens in our lives, we tend to quickly start to pursue other things. When we go to college, when we go off somewhere, we start to invest more in our degrees, our careers. Eventually, we start investing in our families, start new families, and start building our homes. In the midst of that activity, there's often an incredible tension that takes place between building God's kingdom, establishing His presence and His rule, and building our own lives here. Faith, having faith in following Jesus, it's not very easy. But I want to encourage you. I want to let you know that a life of ministry, a life of faith and following after Jesus is not just for people like me. It's not just for guys that are like PT or Frank who stands up here and leads worship. It's also for each and every one of you. But what keeps us? What keeps us from taking steps of faith? What keeps us from going out and taking hold of every opportunity that we have to build God's kingdom here in our community, at work, at school? What is it? I think it's fear. You see, when we make a decision to follow Jesus, there's an exchange that takes place. When we encounter the personal God of the universe, the one true God, a transfer takes place. A transfer takes place in the realm of our reality, our personal security, and we're called to remove our trust in everything else in this world and place it in Jesus alone. Our earthly security for peace and security in Jesus and Him alone. The source of much of our tension and anxieties, especially during our 20s, because we're always wondering, you know, what am I going to do? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to work? Where am I going to live? All these big decisions in our lives during our 20s, there's a lot of tension. There's a lot of anxiety. Much of that is due to the fact that we're not willing to let go, not willing to trust. Even as Christians. And we just cling to things that are inherently untrustworthy. Let me share with you a story from another perspective. There was news about Jesus, that He was coming to town. Many people have heard about Jesus. They wanted to meet Him. The crowds went out in the masses to touch Him, to meet Him, to get healed by Him. They wanted to know, is it really true? Is He the real thing? There's one man in particular that was really interested in meeting Him this one day. So he went out amidst the crowd, and actually the crowd just kind of hushed, and they moved aside to let this guy. Now, he was a pretty unique individual. He was somebody who was pretty well known in the town. You know, if he was here today, he'd be somebody who graduated Ivy League. He's pretty well respected. His family was pretty well respected in the community. He's very influential. He's got a lot of money. Pretty well off. And there was something that was on his heart, and he wanted to bring it to Jesus. So he got through, he knelt down on his knees and said, "Good teacher, good teacher." And Jesus looked at him kind of strangely. "As a good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus looked at him, not impressed by his outer appearance. He had some nice clothes on. He gathered that he was pretty important. He's never impressed by people who appeared important or try to impress him with words like "good teacher." I said, "Good, why do you call me?" You know the commandments, obey them. And the young man looked up at Jesus and said, "I've been doing these since I was a kid." Yeah, do not murder. Do not commit adultery, do not steal. I've been doing these. I've been following these since. Looked at him. Yeah. It's just one thing. And this man, he knelt there thinking, what more is there? All my life. What more is there? There was this nagging in his heart that there is something more, that there's something missing. Something that just quite ain't right. And so Jesus said, you know, if you really want to do this right, if you really want to get it, then, okay, sell your possessions. Sell everything you have. You know what? Take a few days, you know, get your accounts in order, sell everything, and you're going to feel great about it, believe me. And after you've done all that, after you've taken care of everything, come back here and follow me. Follow me. And the man himself, oh my gosh, is this guy, did I hear what I think I just heard? Sell everything? And Jesus stood there looking at him, kind of with wonder, and with his hand outstretched, inviting him to follow him and to experience an adventure. And the man thought to himself, and he was just, he didn't know what to do. His heart was racing, and there were so many thoughts going through his mind. He's like, how can I possibly do this? I have a family. I have responsibilities. I'm important in this community. What would people do without me? Who would do these things? And sell my possessions? Give away my money? Wouldn't that be irresponsible? How can this guy be real and ask me to do this? And he looked at the disciples and looked at all the people around him. And he couldn't wrap his mind around this. And he started backing away from Jesus. Stood there with his hand still outstretched to him, inviting him. Come on, come, follow me. After a few moments, the man just bowed his head and turned away and walked away. Jesus and his disciples kept moving on. And the disciples were like, whoa, what just happened? What just happened? You know, Jesus, that guy, you think he's done it? Would have been cool. He was a pretty cool guy. If he started hanging out with us, that would be pretty neat. You think he would have done it? Jesus said, he wasn't even close. Wasn't even close. It's harder for a rich man to pass through an eye of a needle. It's harder for a camel to pass through an eye of a needle than for a rich man. God. And the disciples were like, whoa, who then can be saved? And Jesus just said, you know, what's impossible for man is possible for God. And the disciples were just kind of blown away by this experience. And they look back and see, you know, where this guy headed off to. And wondering, you know, what's to become of him? Peter turns to Jesus and says, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. We left it all. And Jesus turns to him and says, yeah, I promise you, those who leave it all come after me and follow me and live their lives for the sake of me and the gospel? Hundredsfold. In the next age. Maybe even in this present age. You also receive persecutions along with that. It's hard. This is a rich young man that kind of stood by himself as Jesus and disciples kept walking away into the distance, and with his head still bowed, he's still trying to wrap his mind around this proposition. Follow Jesus. Sell everything I've got. Give away my possessions. What's a guy to do? And looked up, saw the people around him that was still left from that crowd gathering. That guy wasn't. Can you believe that? He's a good guy. But come on. Can't be serious, right? I mean, what would you do? What would you have done? That's my question to you guys here today. Friends, what would you do? What would you do? Jesus is still here. Every moment, just with his hand outstretched to you and asking you to follow him. What would you do? Like I was saying, I made a lot of steps of faith. And it is kind of like connecting the dots. I had no idea how one step would lead me to something else. It's only by looking back that we're able to see the big picture, see what he was painting, and it's amazing. It really is. But going through it, taking those steps of faith, trying to figure out each and every dot, it's scary. It's scary. When I was younger, it was a whole lot easier. Move out to Jersey, wow. My job, young, I could do it, no problem. Mary, I could do that. Now that I have life, I have a just picking up and moving to Philadelphia is the greatest thing that I've ever done right now, up to this point. But God has brought everything together. Even begin to tell you just the process that he brought me through during this year of just trusting him, following him. Sorry, my mic's going in and out. If I had made a decision to just, all right, I'm going to be a pastor right out of seminary. I've got the degree now. I've got the credentials. Who wants to hire me? You know, if I just kind of distributed my resume out there, I don't think it would have been the same. I didn't exactly take the traditional route. After seminary, I didn't distribute my resume out to a lot of churches. The reason was that I didn't want to become a hired gun. I didn't just want to say, hey, look at me. Hire me. Is my mic on? Okay. Instead, I was just trusting and following Jesus step by step. Allowing him to provide the right church, the right time, the right community. And it did come together. But it was a hard year. Didn't exactly have the best financial resources. And now that I have a son, I'm like, how do I make this all work? I'm still trusting you, Jesus. I'm still hanging on. I know you're leading me. And he has. And I want to encourage you that God does provide. More importantly, not only does He provide, but there is a great sense of comfort and security in Him. His presence is with us. Jesus promised to be with us. I challenge you, brothers and sisters, take steps of faith. I don't know where God's leading you. I don't know whose dream you're after, whether it's your dream, someone else's. But there is a bigger picture. God has so much more in mind for your life, for our life together as a community, for our world. Come, join me. Join me in the sense of praying for me. Join me in the sense of also going out and living out your life for Jesus. Whether it's to China, or to your schools, or to your workplace, or maybe start to wrap your minds around the gospel truth, and go in seminary, and get trained up. There's a few things that I would like to ask of you as my church family to pray for me and Lauren about as we make this transition. There's a whole lot of stuff to move. And so if you would, please pray for, kind of that smooth transition of transporting our stuff over. Pray for our hearts during that time, because it gets pretty frazzled. Pray that we trust Him relentlessly. Pray for our families. They're blessing us to go. They're blessing us off. But for them, it's also hard for them to adjust to the distance and to the changes that this brings about. But it is a great testimony to them too, that we're willing to just pack it all up and go away to unfamiliar territory on account of Jesus and the gospel. Many guys have heard me liking my Christian journey to the experience of going on a roller coaster. I definitely truly believe that. If you know me, I may go with you to great adventure. I may go on that huge, crazy, loopy roller coaster with you. But the truth is, I hate roller coasters. I really do. I don't like the feeling of being spun all around and flying at crazy speeds that break the sound barrier. I don't like the feeling of getting my feet lifted off the ground and then when the roller coaster stops to know that my feet are still on the ground. I don't like roller coasters at all. I mean, my first experience was probably what tainted me. Growing up in Brooklyn, every kid goes to Coney Island. And if you've ever gone to Coney Island and rode that roller coaster, you would probably be scared of roller coasters too. I mean, that roller coaster should not be allowed to exist or to allow people to still go on. It's just a metal contraption that is on the edge of falling apart. But our Christian journey can be like that. It is an adventure that has a lot of twists and turns. It's full of trust that sometimes your feet gets lifted off the ground and you get carried away into something where you have no choice but to trust in God completely. But what's cool is that in the end, at the end of the ride, you'll go, whoa, that was quite a ride. That was exciting. That was fun. That was fun. Yeah, there is great excitement and adventure when it comes to following Jesus. There is great comfort and security in being in His presence. The Christian life is more than just doing things for Jesus. But to truly follow Him, it takes faith and maybe letting go of what you find comfort in here on earth and find comfort in His being, in His presence. So, thank you for being my family over the years. Really will miss. Lauren and I will really miss this church community. There's a lot of things to miss, and there's a lot of things to also be prideful about. And this is a great church community. There's a lot of lessons that we've learned. We've matured a lot on account of you. So thank you, and we'll see you again. We're not that far. We'll be dropping by a lot. It's on the way back to New York, too. My family's still there. Lauren's family's still in North Jersey. So we'll trickle by. Thank you. Thank you so much for praying and supporting me over the years. Some of you guys have really been there with us during my seminary years and during some of the darkest moments of my life. Really, thank you for your love and support during those times. And thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to share with you our story, our journey. It doesn't end. There's still more to go. I just want to encourage you to trust and follow Jesus. Amen.